Today is the August the 11th, 2010, at 219 South 2nd Street. 219 South 11th Street, Fernandina Beach, Florida. The following interview is being conducted as part of the Amelia Island Museum of History Heritage Keepers Project. We're interviewing Jackie Delaney. His date of birth is March the 26th, 1926. His place of birth was Fernandina, Florida. My name is Gene Kendall, and I will interview Mr. Delaney on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Also attending this interview session are the following interviewers: Mr. Alex Buell, who is the Director of Operations for the Amelia Island Museum, who is also working the equipment. Mr. Delaney, I will now begin the interview. Sir, thank you for agreeing to talk with us, and we are fascinated and eager to hear your story. Please tell me, what was it like as a boy growing up in, you said Fernandina, Florida, as opposed to Fernandina Beach?
Yeah. This was a fun place to be in, Fernandina, for me, because all we did, go to school, go to the ballpark, play ball, or go on the corner of 8th and Ash by this church and shoot marbles. That was the biggest thing going in Fernandina. Other than that, this was the deadest town you ever seen. But we had a great time growing up here. Everyone knew everyone, and I would go to school in the morning, and sometimes I wouldn't even make it home. We stopped where we used to play ball, and my overcoat and books would be on the stump, and I would play ball till you couldn't see the ball, dark. I'd come home, my mother would almost kill me. Every day was the same thing. And my older brother, he was deathly afraid to go out in the dark. He would stand to the fence when my mother would send him to look for me. He would stand to the fence, but he wouldn't go no further. And he'd look to see was I coming. Then he'd holler. We called my mother Carol. Her name was Carol. Carol, hey, come old Pete the Tramp coming home now. That's what he would call me, Pete the Tramp. It was a cartoon in the Time Union paper, Pete the Tramp. And that's who he called me. Hey, come Pete the Tramp coming home now. And he'd get this big stick for her to kill me with. And she would do that. And every day it was the same thing. I didn't feel happy unless I went to bed. So, and food, I never worry about eating. I could go all day. If I wake up in the morning with something I like to eat, I would eat it. If I didn't, I'd go to school. And you're out there all day, and I wouldn't come home till dark. And I'd get a whipping and send to bed. And that means I was going all day without eating nothing. And that, I didn't care. It was so many things I didn't like. Because during the time growing up here, everyone had a few chickens and a little garden here and there.
Did you all have a garden?
We didn't have one, but you could, anyone see a vacant lot, they could go and start cultivating it and farming it. And you could go there, they'd give you all the vegetables you wanted. So you'd never worry. Food was the, you didn't worry about food, because there were so many things I didn't like. I didn't like no kind of greens, what they grow. Mm-hmm. I didn't like chicken. I didn't eat chicken until I was 25 years old, because we had a few chickens and you get to know them personally. You know, chickens had a name and you didn't eat a chicken that you knew. So I didn't eat chicken. And I certainly wouldn't eat it in the army, because you had to pick it before you could eat it, the way they cook it with the feathers on it. no way.
Did what school did you go to?
Peck High School.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that's high school. What about elementary?
That was it.
It was all one?
All one. Peck High School.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What was your favorite subject in school?
History.
Okay.
Yeah.
Baseball was
the
key
game
in your life, it seemed like.
Baseball and shooting marbles.
Okay.
That was it.
Were you any good at marbles?
Very good. One of the best.
Tell me about that.
We'd meet after school down there in front of that church.
What church was it?
Trinity Church.
Trinity?
Yeah.
Was that your home church?
Is
that
no, no. I was a Baptist.
Okay.
First Baptist, Missionary Baptist.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'd meet there. That's where the crew would meet. And we were fully integrated there, because black and white shot marbles at that particular location.
In front of Trinity?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had an integrated marble contest.
Yeah. We loved to shoot marbles.
What were the marble games that you enjoyed playing?
Mm-hmm. We shoot for keeps, you know. If you win them, you keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to shoot marble with those young white boys who had some beautiful marbles. They could go buy marbles, and we love to shoot with them, try to win their beautiful marbles they had. And I never would go up there with no more than 5 marbles. But I'd always come back with a pocketful. That's mm-hmm. all I ever carried up there, 5.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty good at it.
You say you went to your first Missionary Baptist Church?
Yes.
Is it still around?
Yes. That's one of the oldest churches in Florida, I think. Oldest continuously used church in the state of Florida, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I left there, they were celebrating about 144 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me to get a grant to Tallahassee to restore it and everything. And I knew a lot of people. I knew a good friend in Tallahassee who worked at the Capitol, and I was trying to locate him. I was on the phone trying to call him. He had no idea I was up there, but the next thing I felt a tap on my shoulder, it was him. He worked at the Capitol. He helped us get the grant for First Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the hall next to the church is named for one of my ancestors, Emma B. Delaney Fellowship Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understand she started, the church sent her away from here to become a missionary in Africa. She was one of the first women missionaries to go to Africa alone.
Mm-hmm.
During that time.
Did you know her fairly well?
No, or? I didn't know her. It was before my time. But she lived in the house right on the corner, mm-hmm. of 11th and Beach there. And it used to be my house, and I gave it to my nieces, the corner house right on 11th and Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But she lived there. Wow.
Okay.
And so
So where is the Delaney family home? If it was a clan, would it be here or would it be?
Well, they left.
Spread out.
They left, and one of the Episcopal church there, he had one on the plaque. They have a, did that interrupt?
That's, keep going, it's fine.
They had a plaque to the window there with his name on it. He was the second black priest in the United States, I understand. Second black priest.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent him the bishop there liked him when he was a young boy. They came over here in 1865 from Georgia, on St. Mary's area, during the Civil War. Mm-hmm. The family did.
Mm-hmm.
He came over on rowboats and he turned one of his he had a Confederate carbine and he turned it to the provost marshal to Fort Clinch out there.
Mm-hmm.
When he came over. And he brought his family with him on.
What was his name?
Delaney. Bishop. Henry Beard Delaney. I think that was it.
Henry
B. Delaney.
B. Delaney.
Yeah.
And he was a bishop?
Yeah. He went to Raleigh, North Carolina to further his education. And that's where he became the first or second black bishop in the United States, in Raleigh. And he did a lot of, my family did a lot of brickwork, and he did some in Raleigh. He built a place to the big school in Raleigh. He supervised it, you know, because they knew how to do brickwork, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a book. My friend out on the beach, Brian Lane,
mm-hmm.
he wrote about, I got the, one of the book here,
mm-hmm.
about him. He did some research about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited the two Delaney sisters up in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in their 90s. And they could do yoga exercise, put their feet all up there. Well, wow. And I visited them when I lived in New York a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think one of them died at 104, another died at 108. They had never been married. And one was a second black woman dentist in the state of New York. Another taught schools, exclusive girls' school,
mm-hmm.
up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So
the getting back, you know, you talked about the marbles, and then we talked about school and Bishop Delaney. What about your mom?
She was my mother. She was a Crib. Her name was Crib, Carol Crib.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard later that her daddy was from Cayme Island. Mm-hmm. Her dad, big tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was a Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was a Hippa, I think, before she married my granddad. His name was Crib.
Okay.
But when I got out the army, Fernandina was just the way I left it. And I said, I don't want to stay here. I got to go. Because I've always, one of my main reasons going in the army, I wanted to see as much of the world as I could. I just love history, and I wanted to go in every town in the United States if I could. Because when I was going in the Army, going to Fort Benning, Georgia, all the guys would sleep on the train. But I'm looking at every little town we go through, and I'm writing it down. I wrote some sheet that big with every little town we went through.
Okay, let's talk about, you said you went into the Army to get away from Fernandina?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong. So how old were you when you...
18 when I registered.
Okay.
And I didn't want to leave my mother because my brother was already in. He went in. He was a year and a couple of months older than I was. He went in. And I didn't... So I waited till I was 18, registered the draft. Good buddy of mine, he and I were born the same day. He and I registered, and we were so happy. And I got my papers to go, and I went running out there where he lived. I said, "I got my papers, you got yours?" He said, "No." Well, I was hurt. I said, "No," because I thought he and I had planned what we were going to do, and we was going in together, we was going to be in the same company and everything, you know. And my brother had told me, "Say, whatever you do, have some money when you come into the Army." And I got a job. I worked a few weeks, and I quit a week before time to go.
Where'd you work?
I worked at Container Corporation.
Okay.
Out there. And I saved. I was fairly well off. When I went in the Army, I had $154. I was rich during that time. So when I went to Fort Benning, you'd be out there in the hot sun, and some guy come by selling a glass of ice water, a pitcher of ice water. Say, "I'll sell it to you for 3 cents," and have another guy, "I'll do it for 2 cents." You know, you could buy it little or nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I am with $154. I was rich in Fort Benning.
Yes, indeed.
And what we were standing out there in formation one, and this guy, master sergeant, came up to me. He knew me. He was from Fernandina. And boy, the guy said, "You know this guy?" Because the guy with one stripe, he was powerful in Fort Benning, in the mm-hmm. reception center.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy with six stripes mm-hmm. come up to me, glad to see the old homeboy, you know. Mm-hmm. And boy, the guy said, "You know him?" I said, "Oh, yeah." We had a great time in Fort Benning. And I used to go to see the ball games in Fort Benning. I used to go to the theater. Mm-hmm. I'd take a friend, and mm-hmm. I lived it up.
Well, it sounds like it, but you know, to me, what I would like to know is, did you ever get back while you were in the service for trips back and forth to Fernandina?
Fernandina?
Yeah.
I got one furlough. I left Camp Breckenridge. When I left Fort Benning, went to Camp Breckenridge, Kentucky. That's where I took my basic training at. And then a guy came up in the barrack one day with a bugle. And the sergeant gave it to him, said he wanted to make a bugle out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Try it.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew how to blow a bugle. We had a drum and bugle corps here.
Mm-hmm.
We had one when big cities didn't have one. Mm-hmm. We had old World War I veterans organize a drum and bugle corps.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother and I, we were both buglers in this drum and bugle corps.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought this bugle upstairs and started trying to blow it. I said, "Let me show you how." I started blowing bugle calls. Sergeant come running up there. "Who blew the bugle?"
Mm-hmm.
I was the bugler from then on.
Mm-hmm.
But they sent me to Camp Lee, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
It was Camp Lee. They don't call it Camp Lee now. But Camp Lee, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
To become a bugler, mm-hmm. band training unit.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there, and then I got my first furlough. Mm-hmm. Come home, I didn't have a nickel to my name, and couldn't. They told me I had a delaying root furlough. Mm-hmm. What that mean is, I'm in Virginia. My camp was Kentucky. So I had to buy a ticket from Richmond, Fernandina, back to Richmond, and the government paid my way back to Fort Benning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Camp Breckinridge, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have nothing, and I wired home that night. I said, send me $30 tonight, getting furlough in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, they all was packing to go back to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, well, best I can do, I'll take you to the movie. I went to the movie. When I got back, I went by the office. I said, telegram for me? No. Then I started out. I said, well, I can't go. And then he said, wait a minute. Yeah, there's one. Boy, that $30 was there. Boy, I ran up there and packed my stuff. I came home on that furlough.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long was that furlough?
It wasn't very long, about seven, eight days, something like that.
How were you received? Were you a conquering hero or what?
Oh, when I came home, yeah, they was happy to see me. But I came home broke as usual. They had to give me some money to go help me go back.
Mm-hmm.
But they was happy to see me. And, but
can we talk about this boyhood friend that you were supposed to go into the Army with?
Oh, Nippy? Yes. We call him Nippy.
Nippy. Did you all ever get connected to go to...
I met him over in at Calais Staging Area over in France.
Okay.
He was in the Philippines too, but I didn't see him until before we got to the Philippines. I met him at Calais Staging Area. That's where you wait to catch a ship to go to the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always on the chubby side.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd stand in a line with a little stick and get three donuts on, and then walk to the other line and get a Coke or beer, whatever you prefer. I never drank beer. So I was in the Coke line. He was standing in the donut line with a stick of donuts that and I heard somebody call me by my name, Jack, and I knew it had to be a hometown boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it was him.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him there at Calais Staging Area. I met another guy who lives here now. He's the only one I know who was a veteran of World War II. He's still living here. He and I used to work together to that mill over there.
Mm-hmm.
He live up on street before you get to the mill.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived there now. But he's the only one I know still still around.
Do you associate with him that much at all?
I don't see him that much because I don't go up that side. But any ever hearing problem, everyone leave that mill after they work a long time, got hearing problem, because that when you're cutting up those logs up there and you're sticking little toilet paper in your ear or something like that, they don't give you the earplugs like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still around. Another guy used to be here. I met him over at Calais Staging Area. I knew him here. And I ran into my brother in Germany. They give us a little pass. We were going somewhere. That our sergeant was taking us somewhere. I can't remember what he was taking us for, recreation or something, in Germany. And I happened to spot this truck, 3398.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's my brother's outfit. I jumped out the road and flagged him down. And I said, you got a Delaney in your outfit? He said, yeah. I said, where are you stationed at? He said, about 40 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked my sergeant, I said, can I go see my brother? This guy, truck driver, say if I didn't see him there, he'd bring me back.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, but you better be back before daylight, because
mm-hmm.
we stayed on the move.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy carried me where my brother was, and he was out on convoy when I got there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see him that day, but the next day, this guy brought him where I was stationed.
Mm-hmm.
We were out there loading gasoline can in mm-hmm. those trucks. They come down on skids and you mm-hmm. passing them down. Mm-hmm. We were working, loading that gasoline,
mm-hmm.
aviation fuel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought my brother up there.
Okay.
And my brother came to my company and had dinner with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back and I didn't see him no more. But I was lucky to find him. And this guy, Raphael Green, would stay up there by the mill. I'd never seen him before to know him, mm-hmm. but he knew me. We used to hang around the old Ritz Theater
mm-hmm.
on Atlantic Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be called Center Street then, now it's Atlantic Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked, he said, hey, I know you. He's a tall guy. And I didn't weigh about 118 pounds when I went in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I know you. I look up at him. I say, I don't know you. He said, ain't you from Fernandina? I said, yeah, I know you. So I met him there
mm-hmm.
over in France.
The to get back to the city itself, you know, when you were coming up, how did you guys get around? I mean, you know, you talked about
walk
school. Well, yeah, I understand. But was there any other sort of transportation at all, or just
no one had cars here? I mean, my mother used to. When I walk out the gate of the yard, she would scream, watch out for the cars, and you had to go look for the cars. Where's the cars? You didn't see no cars.
Yeah.
She always thought I was going to get run over by a car. And you never seen a car.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go look for a car.
Okay. What about the beaches?
Oh, boy. They were... That was a good time out to the American Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Very good time. If you could get out there, have transportation, somebody carry you out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember this guy used to deliver, go to the casino out there. He used to deliver the beer and stuff out there, and we'd jump on a truck. He'd take us out there, bring us back.
You said casino?
Yeah, they had a casino out there. I mean, big place where they dance and stuff out there, okay. You know, eat and serve food out mm-hmm. there, right on the American Beach,
mm-hmm.
right on the water.
Okay.
But it was. And, after I came back, that American Beach was the thing. It was so many buses out there.
Any establishment in American Beach in particular that you used to frequent, or
all of Evans had a place, Evans Rendezvous. He had big name bands that come here. I think Cab Calloway came here one time. I didn't see him, but I heard he was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And but it would be so many buses. I mean, I've seen at least 50 buses out there bringing people to American Beach, because during that time it was segregated and that was the only black beach you could come.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come from Georgia, everywhere, down to American Beach.
Mm-hmm. So how many establishments would you say they were there that entertaining? You mentioned
Evans Rendezvous and Williams Guest Lodge and the casino. My wife used to cook out there a little while to the place. Big place right on the... Evans was on one side and this place was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
and you could go there and rent a bathing suit and do this.
Mm-hmm.
It was that beach was the place.
It was the place to be.
And when I came back home, I left here when I got out of town. I said, this town is sure dead the way I left it. I better go. And my grandmother happened to be here. And her husband, my granddad, he was a foreman like to the railroad. They did stevedore work, load ships.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, why don't you come down and spend a couple of weeks with me and then decide what you want to do? I said, okay. I went down there and I wind up staying 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I got a job at the railroad, and I liked that job because I could come and go when I pleased.
Mm-hmm.
You say down there. Where exactly
down
is that?
Down south.
On the
south side, yeah.
South end of the island or Jacksonville?
It's past Tampa. The only way you get there, you had to go by rail,
mm-hmm.
or either catch a ferry boat to leave there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have no bridge in there like they have now.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to catch the train to go in there.
This is on the other side of Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Way down.
Okay.
And I worked there 5 years. Beautiful, right on the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
Gulf on one side of it, and Charlotte Harbor on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts of it wasn't really 2 blocks wide, but one long strip of land.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it, the tip end was owned by the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
The other half was owned by a few people who lived there year round.
Mm-hmm.
And the millionaires who come down there.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were there 5 years?
5 years.
And then you came back to Fernandina?
I was there 5 years. I still couldn't. I like to come and go, and that job, where there's no women, you're not going to keep men there.
Mm-hmm.
So, wasn't that many women there.
Mm-hmm.
And the men would quit, come and quit, and some would come and back. So it was always an opening.
Mm-hmm.
My granddad seen that. I knew every job there. So I always had a job there, for working for the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I could go, quit, stay off a month, get broke, go right back, had a job.
Mm-hmm.
I was never worried about a job there. Mm-hmm. I had it.
Where'd you work in Fernandina when you were up here?
When I came, I would quit about every 6 months and take off. I'd go to a railroad station and hear them call trains, say I want to go there, and I'd take off and go there, mm-hmm. stay till I got broke, go back.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time I quit, I was in the railroad station and heard them call Evansville, Indiana. And that was right where we used to get passes to go from Camp Breckenridge, Kentucky, to Evansville, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a hard time getting up. The 20 cent it take to go there round trip,
because
mm-hmm. I had borrowed 2 cent from this guy, 3 cent from this one, and then he would always tell me, hey, you owe me 2 cent from last month, because I didn't get paid the whole time I was in basic training.
Mm-hmm.
Because my brother had an allotment and I had an allotment. They didn't give two brothers the same type mm-hmm. of allotment.
Mm-hmm.
So they never would change mine, but I never would get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be right to the by the office blowing pay call,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be right thinking I'm right head of the line. Tell me you might as well get to the tail end. You don't have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I never got paid.
Wow!
I got my first money when I was just about ready to go overseas,
mm-hmm.
and they give us a 3-day pass, and my friends, close buddies of mine, they say, we going to Chicago. I say, I'm going to a small town where I can have a good time and my money would last.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to Chicago, I could blow that in one night.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy say, why don't you come home with me? I said, where you home? He said, Opelika, Alabama. I said, I remember going through that when I was on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I think I will. I went. We got up to the to get our ticket to go there. He said, get two tickets, and I'll give you the money when I get home. And I said, okay. I said, all right, George, I don't want no stuff. I want the money. He said, okay. We get it when we get home. Ma, give it to me. So we went there. We had a good time. And we had a long time to ride on the train getting back to camp. So early that morning, he had to get out on the railroad track and with a piece of newspaper and light it and flag the train by the little country town he was in. So we flagged the train down. He got on the train. I said, George, I'm hungry. I said, give me my money so I can. He said, I couldn't get nothing. I said, man, you mean we got all this riding and we ain't got nothing? No. So we stopped. Train had a layover in Birmingham, Alabama. We stopped there. Boy, I was so hungry. Oh, God, I was hungry. I saw this guy standing up there. I said, mister, would you give me enough to get me a bar of candy or a Coke or something? He said, you soldiers don't got nothing. I said, no, I don't. He gave me a dime. I bought a bar of candy and a Coke. George went to him, begging for a dime. He gave him a dime. And we started back to camp. We started back to camp. But we asked, was there a USO? And the guy told us, yeah, you go way down the street there and you'll find one. We figured we could go and get a good meal and everything. And we got about halfway there and we heard the train pulling out what we were supposed to catch. I said, oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we caught the next train, but we was late getting back to camp. And this guy, who was a corporal, acting corporal, mm-hmm. he was in charge of company quarters that night. I never had no use for him because he wasn't in my platoon or nothing. But he was talking to one of the WACs there on the phone, you know, and he was there trying to impress her. Hold up a minute, baby. The bugle boy just walked in, and he's late, and I'm going to have to send him in the woods tonight. And it was snowing out there. Mm-hmm. I had never seen snow till I went to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And, oh, God. I said, well, it won't be so bad because when you punish two, you both have a side of a pup tent and you could hook them together and you make a tent. Mm-hmm. If you go out there by yourself, you was in bad shape. Mm-hmm. That was the punishment they give you. Mm-hmm. And so they sent him. So he was on the phone talking and she begged him not to send me out in the woods. And, all right, baby, if you say so, I'll let him. I said, thank you, lady. Oh, boy. But now the time when we went to Camp Kilman, New Jersey, when we left Breckenridge mm-hmm. to go overseas, we stayed there 3 or 4 days, and then we went on to New York. And what I thought was Grand Central Station in New York. I don't know whether it was a big railroad station. Mm-hmm. And we went through this railroad station. And they say, all right, everybody, take a seat. Little seats there. And we sit there about 5 minutes. I said, this seat is moving. It was a barge or something taking us out to the ship. Mm-hmm. And it looked like that ship was about 3 stories high. We had to go up with all the pack and mm-hmm. everything, duffel bags full of stuff, gas mask, rifle. Mm-hmm. We had to come straight up. Golly. Mm-hmm. We got on that ship. It was in February, about the middle of February. And I say, late on that night, I say, I smell diesel fuel. Well, I said, this ship moving. And from that minute on, I got seasick. God, I never was so sick in my life. And when we got in that Atlantic in the middle of February, that water was coming over the top deck. Looked like the ship would go down in a hole and come up like that. I laid in my bunk with a bucket between my legs. I didn't have nothing in my stomach. I didn't eat nothing for 11 days. It took us across nothing. I didn't, not a sip of water. Nothing. All I wanted to do was hurry and die. I was so sick. And the only guy I know wasn't seasick was my buddy who lived in the hills in Virginia. Never seen, I'm born and raised on the water, around the water. He never seen nothing but a ditch where he lived because I've been to his home. He's the only one walking around having a good time, eating up all the food he wanted because nobody was down there eating.
What was the town really like when you came back? You know, when you came back to settle in Fernandina.
I didn't come back to settle. I come back to get me a stake so I could go somewhere else. It was just the way I left it, almost a little bit better, but not much better. It was still dead town. And I said, I'm just going to stay here. And I got
Where'd
a job.
You meet your wife? Where'd you meet your wife?
Well, I met, she was in second grade when I knew her.
Okay.
We've been married 52 years. And I got a job to the mill. I was just going to stay here long enough to get me some money and take off. Get this job. Mamie.
All right, everybody ready?
So, just to a quick review, you said that most of the time you spent just coming back to get enough money to leave because the town was, in your words, dead.
Dead.
Okay. Mr. Delaney, I need to ask you, what did the other people do? You just said it was dead, but there had to be some kind of nightlife or entertainment or something.
They used to, right on the next corner over there, was a two-story building. Used to be a dance hall. And big bands used to come here and play in that two-story building. They had a dance and minstrel shows used to come here, free shows, selling medicine or something like that, you know. It used to come here. And Solace Green from New Orleans, that was a big show. People find some money from somewhere to get to Solace Green.
Was it integrated, segregated? What?
It's segregated.
Yeah.
We sit in one side and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
Was that like most entertainment? Was that that way?
The dance hall was a black dance hall.
Okay, it was right, okay.
Yeah, all black. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the corner there. And but Solace Green had a big opening, big tent out there, you know, and we sit on one side. It was segregated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know the only thing. Took a long time to integrate here. A doctor's office in the churches.
I wonder why that is.
Christian people go there. I guess. Drugstore on town, Lockwood Drugstore. When they integrated, he had seats, a soda fountain there, seats with your wine up like that, you know. He unscrewed the seats off, left nothing but the pole left. He took his seats up. But we played ball together, and for years we've been playing ball together. We picked who was the best player. We didn't care if it was polka dot. We picked the best player who could keep us in. So, but we always.
Did you play high school sports?
No, I wasn't on the basketball team because they had some bigger guys and better. I was so little. Mm-hmm. I was little. I couldn't. And we didn't know nothing. Football was the last game. Nobody here hardly played football, all baseball. I remember when they first started playing basketball. They didn't play basketball, and we didn't have a coat or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. Only game we played was baseball here. Yeah. And I remember when I was on the living, I went to living in Evansville, Indiana. You'd be on the city buses, and they'd be broadcasting the basketball game, and the people, telling you to quiet. Mm-hmm. I said, these people crazy. We didn't play no basketball like these people. These basketball nuts up in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
We were strictly baseball here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We loved that.
Were you pretty good at baseball?
Yes.
What was your position? What did you play?
First
base?
Yeah. We had it was a tree on Beach Street here, right off Beach Street, going there. And the park was, ballpark over there was facing that way. So this big oak tree was right over from the fence, center field. And we had seats built up in this tree where we'd go and watch the white ball players play. They had a good team. Fernandina had a good team. And they used to play teams from out of town, used to come here, you know. And they had one particular guy, he couldn't throw a ball overhand. The only way he could throw was underhand. Boy, but he had a looping curve. He was good. Jake Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was very good. And they had a guy played first base, Billy Jeffries. He left here a long time, and he came back here. I was a young boy when he left this town. He came back here, and he was out there in the ballpark, and he was hitting balls. Mm-hmm. And I walked up to him. I said, "You hit that ball just like a ball player I used to know a long time ago." He said, "Who?" He said, "Bill." I told him. I said, "Billy Jeffrey." He called his wife over. Said, "Tell her what you just told me." And he was Billy Jeffrey. And he was, and I told him, but that guy could hit a ball. Oh boy. Mm. But when I came, my last job, I decided to go to Evansville, Indiana. Bad mistake. I didn't have nothing but summer Florida clothes. And that first day it got cold. And the next day colder. And I was up there freezing, and everything was on strike. Couldn't find a job, and lost my pass.
When was this about? What time period was this?
Mm-hmm. About 51, during 19. The time.
Okay.
Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I couldn't find my pass. Didn't no money, and this landlady said, "I will let you stay here. I can't feed you. You can stay here till you find a job." I had pawned everything of some value and couldn't find a job nowhere because everything was on strike. One company sympathized with others. When one strike, all strike. And I was walking down the street one Sunday, and this guy asked me, "Can you cook?" I said, "Yes." I had never cooked nothing in my life. He asked me. He had a job to a Chinese restaurant. I said, "Yeah, I can cook." I was going to work long enough to get me a big square meal, and then he found out I can't cook, and then he was going to fire me. So I went there, and happened so the boss there on the restaurant, he just took a liking to me. He just seen I didn't know what the heck I was doing. And he was trying to show me some things, you know. So I pick up a few things, not enough, but I pick up a few things. I got a steady job there. I got my stuff out of pawn, caught up on my rent, and saved a couple $100. I said, "I'm going Florida where it's warm at." I told say, I hate to leave, but I better go. I can't stand this cold weather. He said, Jimmy, my boy, you can sleep in the restaurant. I said, no, because I know if I stayed in the restaurant, he'd work me all night long. I said, no. I said, I'm going. I left there on a Christmas day. And train got out of Evansville and derailed. I said, this is bad luck to start with. But I got to Jacksonville, and I was coming home, and I heard them call trains. See, I'm not quite ready to go home. I went to Miami. I decided to go to Miami and stay. But it wasn't what I thought it was, nothing. But I did hang on to enough to get me a bus ticket back to Fernandina. And I got a bus ticket to Fernandina. Now, I was going to get a job long enough to take off somewhere else. And I didn't know none of the guys I was working with. All of them were strange to me. And I met this one guy. He and I became friends. He said, I'm going to take you out to meet a fine girl. Say, I can't get to first base with her, but maybe you can. Carried me to meet my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
So where was this?
Huh?
Was it a restaurant or a movie or?
No, he carried me out. He wanted me to meet my future wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He carried me out there. He had a car. He rode me out there. Mm-hmm. And when he carried me out there, she ran out there. She's happy to see me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You know her?" I said, "Yeah." And we stopped going out and things. And my granddaddy, he retired and moved here, back here. This was his home. And he died. My wife and I went to the funeral. We weren't married then.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the funeral. Coming back, I say, "Hey, since we're already dressed, let's get married." Mm-hmm. She said, "What?" I said, "Let's get married." I never mentioned that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kept on driving to Georgia, and I had $18 to my name. I had to give the Justice of Peace 5 of them, and she said, "I don't want the Justice of Peace to marry me. I want a preacher to marry me." I said, "Man, I ain't got but 13 left," and I had to give him 5. We started off with $8. I tell everybody she married me for my money.
Oh, wow, that is absolutely. What were the other sorts of jobs that a young man had around Fernandina in those days?
The mills came. The mills came in 38 or 39, something
so
like that.
So that was about it. And the mills did.
What happened? Where you could? The only place I know you could find a job was fishing, pogie fishing. I used to catch these little pogie fish, and they had a place out. Old town out there where they cook the fish, grind them up, and use them for fertilizer, you know, mm-hmm. and ship them out. So that was it. The shrimpers, they made money, they mm-hmm. catch shrimp. But the mills came in the 30s, 38 or 39, one of the years.
Mm-hmm.
And when those mills came here, just about every 15 minutes you could hear an ambulance hauling somebody, taking them to Jacksonville to the hospital. Somebody was getting hurt on the job because they didn't practice safety on these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't do the job, 15 men waiting to take your place, you know,
mm-hmm.
grab your wheelbarrow or your shovel or whatever, you get hurt out there,
mm-hmm.
you just...
No benefits.
No benefits.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So that's the way it was. But our only excitement when them World War I Legionnaires organized a drum and bugle corps,
mm-hmm.
and they just about every other block here, somebody was selling moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see them guys going all day long, them Legionnaires, coming up, and they come up there where we were practicing, and they said, let's have a parade. We didn't have to get no permit or nothing. We had a parade that day. If they said, let's have a parade, we had a parade. Mm-hmm. And, boy, I'd run home and tell my mother, get my uniform ready. She'd have it ready, boy, because she loved a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go down 8th Street and get on Center and go uptown. And the merchants would leave the stores following the parade. That was some excitement when we had a parade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a good time.
How big was this band, the Drum and Bugle Corps?
We had 8 buglers,
wow,
4 drummers, 1 big drum, and 1 cymbal, and 5 majorettes.
Mm-hmm.
And those majorettes could, boy, they were...
They could strut, huh?
Yeah, they could do it. We were... And later on, other cities organized, had bands, and we went to Tallahassee to compete. And we had the raggedest bus you could see the highway looking down through the float. You had to hang on. And we made it to Tallahassee. I don't know how we made it in that raggedy bus, but we made it there, and we compete against those St. Pete. And they had big bands. They laugh at us when we step out all raggedy bus, and they say, where the rest of your band? This is it. But we came out with the first place trophy. Ferndina did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we had the top band. We were good. We knew we were good.
What year is this?
Back in the 30s. Maybe 34, 35, something like that.